Production. Recorded live.
I used to feel bad. Hit the ground running.
Welcome to the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. I am your host, Sean Wolford, joined by George Jones and Kyle Patton from ineedwrestling.com. How are you guys today?
I'm very good. How are you, man?
I'm good, thank you. George?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. It's a great honor to be on this fine podcast.
I appreciate it. Let's kick things off with this past week's news. My very first story on my list here is Jeff Hardy's court case being moved back to June 27th. I don't know what you guys think about this, but for me, it just seems to be going on and on and on. And to be honest, I think by the time we actually get it done and dusted, that he'll be dead. I know that sounds horrible, but I think that's what's going to occur. And it'll be another death in wrestling. What do you guys think about it, Kyle?
Yeah, it's been going on forever. This arrest took place in September of 2009 for drug possession. It's just ongoing constantly. They're constantly stalling it, and it looks like what Jeff's really trying to do is get out of having any chance of jail time, and it looks like they're trying to go towards rehab and all that stuff, etc. Might be the best form, because he obviously does need help after what we witnessed at TNA Victory Road. Hopefully it gets done. June 1st is the next court date, so I'm hoping it's over with.
George, your thoughts on this?
I'd say Jeff Hardy has got some real problems. He's sort of half the wrestler he ever was. And TNA, I think he's had so much power, it's sort of overtaken him, really. He's just been so bad so far. Just the whole thing with the drugs, he's just got real issues. After his recent showings, they shouldn't use him again, really. I think they should help him, but not ever again, really.
Do we actually want to see him back in TNA, even if he does get sorted out? Should he be given another chance? You know, this is time after time. I know Eric Bischoff said in other story, other like news websites and radio shows that he is still very angry at Jeff for the way he showed up. And what do you think, George?
I think the thing with Jeff Hardy doing drugs, it just shows TNA that other wrestlers can sort of get away with it. Maybe the only reason why Jeff Hardy will keep his job is because maybe he's got some sort of creative control in his contract. I think his brother being there must help. Obviously his brother's obviously getting a massive push at the moment. We can all see that, but Jeff Hardy does need some real help.
And Kyle, your thoughts on whether he should be allowed back in, even if he does get sorted out?
Well, he definitely needs to get help first. If he gets the appropriate help, I believe he definitely deserves another shot in TNA or even somewhere else. He's done so much in this business, he deserves at least a chance, but he needs to prove that he can keep himself straight.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I think it's TNA, though, so there's no doubt he will be back in eventually. My next story is TNA announcing a cruise deal sort of concept. Basically, from Florida on December 8th, you can leave a three-night cruise that advertised to be on the cruise will be TNA stars Mr. Anderson, Jeff Jarrett, his wife Karen, Chris Sabin, AJ Styles, Beer Money, Velvet Sky, and Kaz or Kazarian. The prices are starting at $479 per person based on a double occupancy. To me, this is a unique sort of venture they're going out for. It's either going to be absolutely amazing or absolutely horrible, and it'll be sort of a rushed fan fest event on the sea, and I can see something like the Titanic reoccurring, you know, knowing TNA's luck. But what do you guys think about it, Kyle?
A lot more companies are doing stuff like this lately, and I think this is a pretty good thing for TNA, because, I mean, you're not looking to put, like, you know, 500,000 people on a cruise. It's a pretty small, tight-knit thing. I think it'll be great because a lot of people are going to want to go on vacation. They'll go on vacation, and if they're wrestling fans, they get to enjoy their time with likes of, like, beer money, etc. I think it's good.
And George?
Yeah, I think it's not a bad idea, but they're not exactly the first company to try this concept. WCW tried it with their Bruise Cruise in 91, and it was ultimately unsuccessful and lost a lot of money. I mean, the problem that the TNA might have is their wrestlers obviously going to have to stay in character the whole time. It sort of could, like, expose the business a bit. They've got to be very careful who they take on the cruise, particularly with the people that have got problems in the locker room.
I don't know. They could well come out of and break kayfabe. It's TNA. Sorry, go ahead, Kyle.
I'm sorry, I just want to say, I hate to say, but Vince McMahon exposed the business about 15 years ago.
Very true, and he did. They're exposing it on Tough Enough, which we will get onto later. But back to my point, I think it's going to be an interesting sort of concept, and they may well break kayfabe considering it is TNA, and they have definitely broken kayfabe before. But my only worry is if it's actually just a one-night thing that you get to meet the guys and then they're off again elsewhere to do tapings, commercials
can
or
I,
whatever
I,
you have.
Sorry,
yeah, go
Sean, can
it.
I say something? I wonder whether they'll possibly take a camera on this cruise and use it to further some angles, possibly. Could be a concept maybe to sell. Because I think, leading on that, the actual package is you get tickets to a pay-per-view as well after, I saw earlier. So perhaps they'll work on an angle on the cruise towards a pay-per-view, maybe to tell, like, sort of maybe to advertise to do that it'd be a regular thing for TNA once a year to do a cruise. Maybe it'd be some extra room for them.
Sorry, I don't think they'll use it to build a storyline or anything, but I can definitely see JB coming on and filming some stuff for the Spin Cycle and their YouTube channels. I have no doubt about that. But in regards to maybe, I know you get tickets with this. Sorry, I didn't mention that, but there is some sort of deal. I can't see them building any storylines on it unless they become very strange and just, I can just see it being really bad. You know, like people getting chucked off the boat and just other bizarre angles. But Kyle, what do you have any more opinions on this?
George pretty much covered it all. I completely agree. But I think TNA, if they were smart, they might try to throw in an angle or something to go into a pay-per-view just so it's something different. But I agree.
George, what were you going to say there?
I was going to say, I wonder whether they will actually have, like, sort of have the heels and faces together on board. Because you notice you've got Jeff Jarrett and Karen. You've also got some members of Fortune. Perhaps they'll do something. I don't know, but probably not. Man, TNA.
You know, it's although it doesn't seem that it's that long, it still is, 2 months off almost. And storylines change so often in TNA. They could all be faces by then, or they could all be heels. You just never know. I mean, it's unlikely, but I think it's just going to... It'll be wait and see, and it'll be trial and error. And if it works excellent and they get good reviews, then it'll probably become a yearly occurrence. If not, it won't. My next story is another Austin Kong vignette that aired. This time the doll's head is the same doll, but with black hair this time. It's an interesting vignette they're airing right now. They're definitely building her up well, and I believe we'll either see her at Extreme Rules or next week on the draft. We will touch the draft in a bit. But what do you guys think about it, Kyle?
We've talked about it before. I'm definitely looking forward to Awesome Kong. Supposedly her name's going to be Karma. But I'm looking forward to seeing what she does in the WWE. She should be appearing soon. I'm thinking they might wait a week after the draft because the draft is going to be its own big ordeal. But she's definitely going to tear up that division, I believe, and she's going to be the best wrestler in that whole division.
And George?
Yeah, I think she's a great worker. I always rated her work in TNA. I think it's good that they're sort of giving her a different gimmick as such, like sort of airing a pre-Vignette before she debuts, obviously creating a buzz, where they don't normally do that often anymore. But no, it should be good to have her in WWE. I'm sure she'd add something to that women's division, particularly when they've got the Bella Twins as champion, as one of the champions at the moment. It's just needs improving.
My only slight concern with this is that, you know, we have stories coming out that Gail Kim may well be leaving or even retiring. And I was actually really looking forward to some matches between the two, as we have seen some really good work in TNA before. But if she goes, I think it could well let down the whole build-up of Kong coming in. The only thing is quite interesting that they are keeping the same sort of outfit. I thought they might change up a little bit, but by the looks of things from the vignettes, everything's the same. The hair, the look, just a different name. George, what were you going to say there?
I would imagine when she comes in, the way that they're airing these vignettes, that she'll come in and just like sort of beat everybody hands down, just come in and literally squash people. She looks almost like she's going to be like almost like a Birth of Fae type character. She's going to be a lot bigger than the majority of them divas that they have, so I imagine that she'll be on a huge push.
Yeah, Kyle, do you have any other thoughts and comments on this story before we go on to my next one?
Yeah, I'd just like to apologize to Vince McMahon because I called her a wrestler. I meant super or diva.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This isn't actually the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. It's the Aftershock Sports Entertainment Show. So I'm going to need to rebrand the whole show, you know.
It's the comedy club.
It is indeed. my next story is that TNA are getting rid of have apparently got rid of Jay Lethal. This looks legit, but it may well be a work or an angle. You really never know of TNA, but he has been removed from the roster page. It was broken on multiple news sources yesterday, including I Need Wrestling. Nice plug there.
Thank you.
No worries. I think it's a shame, and it's not a shame. It's a big loss for TNA, but it's not really, because they weren't using him anyway. So although they've lost a really good talent, they did say a little while back they're going to rebuild the company around the X Division, but that clearly hasn't really happened. And it's a shame, but it also isn't. And I think we're going to get to see a lot more of Jay Lethal, and he probably will get a lot more money out of working the indies. You know, I think he's done one of these deals that he gets paid per appearance, if I'm all right. So it's an intro. George, what's your thoughts on this?
I think it's quite a big loss, really. I would say they booked him so well in TNA. It's just a shame, really. Ever since he's had that Ric Flair match, he's never sort of recovered, really. That'd be my opinion on it, really. I wonder if WWE will sign him, maybe.
Kyle, your thoughts?
I think it's terrible. I mean, we don't know a whole lot other than that he's gone from TNA and that he supposedly was released. That's the word, anyway. It's unfortunate. They looked like they had big plans with him for a while when they put him over Ric Flair at a pay-per-view, and it looked like things were looking up. They were giving him promo time, and then he just disappeared, except for at Lockdown last week, and where he participated in a match involving many others. It's disappointing. I hope that he gets another run with ROH or gets a shot at the big time with WWE, because he's definitely good on the mic and he's good in the ring.
Yeah, I think that you've pretty much wrapped up there for me. Other comments from myself. My other story I've got here, which is the fun one, which I think we're going to spend a little bit of time on here, is the WWE draft is on next week's Monday Night Raw. I don't know what you guys think about who's going to go where and what's going to happen. What I'd like to see is them get rid of the NXT show. I do know they have the international deals, but scrap it all and the Superstars deals. Save yourself some money and put SmackDown Live, but move John Cena onto the show, onto SmackDown, and have him as your top face. On SmackDown, you know, bring some more awareness and more viewers to that show. I personally feel that The Miz and John Morrison can hold up Raw at the moment. But I don't know what you guys think about this. I'm going to go to George first. I know you've got quite a few comments.
I sort of think about the whole draft thing. You're looking at the SmackDown side of the WWE is so short of a face. Now Edge is gone. So I don't think they'll move Cena to SmackDown. I've got to be honest with you. I think Cena's too much of a big star on Raw. He's WWE's main wrestler at the moment. Unfortunately, he's been pushed to the moon. I think maybe Randy Orton will go to SmackDown, possibly. I think Del Rio possibly could go to Raw, though. I think it'll be changed, come and go, change all day on Monday. We won't know until the draw's actually done. I'm sure it will change five or six times. Vince McMahon very much changes things in the last minute, so I'm sure it's going to be interesting for us all.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on that before I ask Carl for his opinions, but I just hope they don't move Randy Orton, or at least if they do, build him up properly. I'm still confused on whether he's going to be a heel or face. He's very confusing. It's just the whole gimmick doesn't really work for me, the way he enters the ring. I just can't see him as your main event guy on SmackDown, you know. I can see him as high mid-card, you know, possible feud with... but at the moment, he's working quite a good role with Rey Mysterio. Carl, what do you think about this? Who do you think will go where?
George hit a few of my points. I do think that something along the lines of Randy Orton going to SmackDown is going to happen. As he pointed out, SmackDown is depleted now without Edge. They only have about three title contenders on there, Rey, Christian, and Alberto Del Rio. That's not a lot. I really think if the WWE is smart, they push Cena and Del Rio for SummerSlam. I think that there's a possibility that The Miz and Del Rio will switch shows. I don't see John Cena, even though he's being rumored to go into SmackDown, I don't see it happening because, like George pointed out, he is the top guy in the company. And I don't know, there'll probably be a few other switches, but that's the big stuff there.
Yeah, what do we think in terms of the smaller changes, like... I don't know who to say, but like in Nexus and Sin Cara, I personally think we're going to see Sin Cara move to Sin, mainly because of how strange he has been working lately. He's been very mixed. He's been botching some moves, then hitting some really impressive ones. But I just think they can't put him on the live show right now. And I think they've learned their lesson with it. In terms of the Nexus, or the course are even, I think that they're just going to disband this faction altogether. It's just not working for me, and I hate to sound negative, but it's just a horrible faction. The t-shirt doesn't work well. It's a hideous t-shirt. George, what do you think about the smaller guys, or the mid-card, lower-card guys moving across?
Sorry, I would say that Sin Cara probably would go to SmackDown because he has having, as you said, he's been having a lot of botches. At least then if it's recorded, they can edit it out, particularly with his entrance and stuff. But in terms of small guys, it'll be interesting to see if they actually move John Morrison. I think maybe he could do quite good work on SmackDown. The problem with WWE is they're very much about CM Punk, like Raw, it's very much about CM Punk, Randy Orton, and wrestlers like that. There's not really space for somebody like John Morrison, although he's going to be in the main event of Extreme Rules. I think... a lot of the small work, maybe they'll... I think they might move some tag teams, possibly, to SmackDown, because Kane and Big Show can only face the core, known Nexus, so many times as such. It's very depleted, the tag team division on SmackDown, in my opinion.
And, Kyle, your thoughts?
You guys pretty much touched on the Sin Cara stuff. I've been telling people this for weeks, that he really does need to go on SmackDown so that he can get used to the roster and the roster can get used to him, because they're not used to that style. And that's half the reason he's botching half of his moves, is people aren't ready for it. And I think on taped television he'd be much better than live on Raw. As for like Nexus and Core, maybe, because they haven't really pulled the trigger on it too much. They did dabble in a little bit, but maybe they'll put them both on the same show and just have them go all out at it. Who knows? I don't know, maybe see a few guys like Jack Swagger switch shows or something like that.
Can I say one more thing, please?
Yeah, go for it.
I think, I'll tell you who might actually move. This is a very good shout, and I reckon he'll be on a push. Is Dolph Ziggler, particularly now he's got his new image, he's sort of maybe, they'll move him to SmackDown, where he can actually like sort of be the main focus of the show as such, maybe, I don't know. Not the main focus, but at least then he can sort of get a push, maybe.
Yeah, I don't really see the whole way why they promoted Dolph Ziggler, sorry. He, the this change doesn't, all he's really had is his hair changed, and he's got a little bit more of a edge to him. But other than that, I don't really see any massive changes, you know, in terms of the style he wrestles or anything. It's just a little bit dull still. But I hope they don't split up him and Vicky Guerrero. She can talk well for him, and he cannot talk well for himself, and that's what he is really lacking. In terms of in-ring work, he is very good. But I'm glad, I'm hoping to see that they keep them two together. Carl, your thoughts on Dolph Ziggler?
He really hasn't changed a whole lot. He's got the new haircut, but as we saw in his match on Raw, he was still the same Dolph Ziggler. Same moves, everything, same match. I do disagree with you a little bit on the promo skills. I mean, yes, Vicky is a lot better, but I think Dolph has come a long way the past several months with his work with Edge and all that stuff and his promo a couple weeks ago on Raw. But other than that, nothing much new.
Anyone else got any more thoughts on the draft on who's going to move? George?
I think there'll just be a few, like a lot of moves and shakes and such. I think WWE is quite stale. I'm a bit surprised they've done this draft 1 week before a pay-per-view. Maybe it would have been better the day after as such, or just sort of the day after Extreme Rules. I just sort of interesting to see how they're going to work the the people that move, particularly if they're in feuds at the moment. Are they going to cross-brand shows? I don't know. I'm not too sure, really.
It definitely shows that they're struggling without Edge. I don't think they've quite realized how much how important he was to SmackDown. And I think they've called this sort of draft very quickly. It was sort of just out of the blue. Go for it.
Sean, they were meant to do it apparently in June. Apparently that was when they originally were going to do the draft. But because of Edge, they've had to move it forward now. It just shows now The Rock's sort of gone back to Hollywood. Triple H is out, Undertaker's out. It's sort of just left it. WWE sort of on its legs, really. It just lacks anything like star power as such, in my opinion, at the moment.
Tyler, have you got any more thoughts on the draft? Who's going where?
Well, just like George said, this was planned for June, and WWE pretty much hit the panic button after Edge retired to revamp SmackDown and change it up. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we get some fresh faces on shows here.
Okay, go for it.
I sort of think WWE are holding off to when maybe like someone like Jericho will come back, possibly. Perhaps they're just obviously, they've rushed the draft now because of Edge, but maybe they're hoping that whatever they do will carry them through, at least up to SummerSlam, and then maybe they'll have Jericho back and possibly Batista.
Yeah, it's, I've heard Batista's going into MMA and stuff, but you never know with him. Anyway, guys, we're gonna cut to a commercial break. We'll be right back after this with WWE Raw reports, SmackDown, and Tough Enough reports, as well as TNA Lockdown. And we hopefully have someone on who actually attended the event live, as well as us three who watched it all on TV. We'll be right back after this.
They are the most defiant and controversial force in WWE history. Ever. Here's your chance to own the finale of the D-Generation X era.
If you're not down with that, we all got two words for you.
Oh, this DX One Last Stand. Available on Blu-ray and DVD now.
Why don't you stop talking so we can go? Oh, just I'm glad this is over.
Guys, I'm so sick of you anyway.
It's the most anticipated event of the year.
The sheer spectacle of 70,000 people is pretty mind-blowing.
A worldwide celebration.
Everybody wants to be a part of it.
Now, see how it all began.
It was a huge gamble, the biggest gamble I've ever been involved with.
Welcome to WrestleMania!
For
the first time ever, the untold story is yours in The True Story of WrestleMania.
There's so many myths, facts, fallacies, and hidden stuff, and people wonder about it.
Exclusive behind-the-scenes access.
Until you get to that moment, a minute or 2 minutes before your match, it's not real.
Untold stories.
I was walking into the ring, it's like I couldn't think of anything but my dad. I could feel his presence.
That gives you an inside look at every WrestleMania created.
There's nothing like it.
It's an amazing event, but an amazing story to me of how it got to be.
The True Story of WrestleMania. Own it on Blu-ray and DVD Tuesday, March 15th.
Stand up, because I've got a lot to say.
I am Bobby the Brain Heenan. Get it.
We're here making television history right now.
Now, for the first time ever released on DVD, the unprecedented collection of one of the greatest managers of all time in Bobby the Brain Heenan.
You know, I'm the kind of a man that doesn't like to be made a fool of. You listen to me, you go to the top.
From his dynamic relationship with Gorilla Monsoon.
Will you stop? Just wait a minute. We're on the air here.
What is this, a joke?
Yes, I know exactly what's going on here.
I have my dinner.
Why don't you be serious?
To Bobby's controversial time with WCW.
Someone please tell us what is going on, please.
Relive the most outlandish.
Come on, Matilda, try to catch me. There's a little nut.
Witty.
Well, in Beverly Hills, I happen to know that my mailman right there is Hunchback. I'm just carrying my mail.
And unforgettable moments that has shaped the brains of luxury. Bobby the Brain Heenan, available now.
We're out of time. No.
Stand there and...
We are back here on the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. I am currently joined by my usual co-host, George Jones. iNeedWrestling.com's very own Kyle Patton. And now joining us on the line, Shotgun Wrestling Radio's host, Zach Grigg. Zach, I want to welcome you to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. We're going to kick off things with Monday Night Raw. I've got my report here. So we opened up with a huge Union Jack flag and bus, as they tend to do with Monday Night Raw whenever it comes over to the UK. R-Truth came down to the ring and he got a fairly bad reception from the crowd. No surprises there. The crowd reluctant to join in with his what's up chant, which, to be honest, if I had attended the show, and I am now glad I didn't, I wouldn't have been joining in either. He told us he had problems and continued to He told us he has problems and continued to say he will fight everyone to get to when he wins the title. We then had John Morrison come down. He congratulates Truth on his win, but says he was lucky and he is out of shape. He then told R-Truth and the rest of the crowds, as well as us at home, to watch a clip from last week's Monday Night Raw, where we had the gauntlet match, where it ended in a double count out or disqualification. I can't quite remember. But when Cena was coming down, what we didn't see on TV was that R-Truth was taking some water. Now, apparently that's really bad, according to WWE, that a superstar stays fit and healthy, you know, by taking water and rehydrated, because they want all their guys to die in the ring. He passed them a bottle of water. Truth also smokes, according to John Morrison, and ends up having a match against him. This beginning and opening of the segment was way too long for me, in terms of what they said. And to be honest, it wasn't very good. I don't know what you guys thought about it. Kyle?
Yeah, I've been calling this R-Truth heel turn since February. I went to the Monday Night Raw in Milwaukee that they had right after the Royal Rumble, and he pronounced the or he said the wrong city because the Packers had just won the Super Bowl, blah blah blah. Anyway, so I said he should just go out and do this whole wrong city every night or turn heel. Well, he finally turned heel this past week. I absolutely enjoyed it. I have no problem with him smoking on TV. Although the only thing I will say is, as you pointed out, because the segment was 25 minutes long, it took up almost the first half hour Raw, way too long. But I liked it.
George, your thoughts on the first part of this segment before the match?
Yeah, I thought it wasn't a segment. It did go on and on and on and on. Really, I understand that. Obviously, R-Truth last week obviously won entry into the main event of Extreme Rules, but it was just unnecessary. Really, they could have started better into like an episode of Raw. Really, assuming they've got the draft next week, it'd been those other things that are more important. Really.
Yeah, this ended up going into a match between the two. Morrison defeated Truth. It was an okay match, and spectacular. After the match, Truth sits in the corner, confused and exhausted. Morrison comes up to him to shake his hand, but Truth is staring into space and refuses to. Morrison then walks up to the corner to celebrate, and Truth gets up behind him and pulls Morrison down from the canvas. He then backs off in shock for some reason on what he did, and then hits him with a knee, sending him outside. Truth continues outside to beat down Morrison, and then shouted, "You did this, John." He grabs himself a bottle of water from the announcer's desk and then pulls himself off and then hits Morrison in the face with it, leaving Morrison there. He asks the crowd who has the smoke. He gets a cigarette from the crowd and lights it up. He takes a few hits and then blows it and sort of breathes into Morrison's face. The best bit about this segment I enjoyed was the crowd shouting, "That's illegal." But just so people know, it's apparently not illegal if you are doing it in like a theater or some sort of production. So obviously WWE should get away with it. What's your guys' thoughts on it, Kyle?
Like I said, I have absolutely no problem with it. And it is legal if it is in like a soap opera type setting, like we're, you know, shooting, blah, 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 whatever. I enjoyed it. I'm backtracking a little bit, but I thought R-Truth's promo was probably the best of his career, which is not saying much, but I enjoyed it. I have no problem with any of the stuff they did. I thought it was hilarious that the crowd was upset that he was smoking, but it was a good time for me, entertaining.
George, your thoughts?
Yeah, sort of. It was a pretty good like promo, to be honest. I think one of the highlights of the promo was there was this part where John Morrison was on the floor. R-Truth sort of looked like in shock of what he'd done. He then picked him up and threw him back into the barricade and then blew smoke on him. It was a bit of a strange way to turn heel, really, if I may say so, but it worked, definitely. It's just a shame that it's just a shame that John Morrison's won that slot now and he's down on his back, where sort of someone that realistically you don't think is going to win the title based on what happened in that segment, really.
They could have only done the smoking thing in England, really, or the UK, couldn't they? That was the only time they decided to do that. It was kind of like they were almost asking for some controversy. But anyway, we continue in with an advert break and then we come back and Evan Bourne is in the ring, no intro. Vicky Guerrero comes out and introduces the new improved Dolph Ziggler. He has his hair cut and it's shorter and it's a darker color. It's almost like a black now. We did briefly touch on the new Ziggler earlier on in the show. The match was fairly good. It wasn't anything spectacular though. And hits the zigzag and wins the match. What did you guys think of the match, George?
Yeah, I just sort of thought it was just a normal match, really. It was just sort of like a squash match. I think Dolph Ziggler, unfortunately, does look like every other normal WWE superstar. Unfortunately, I thought it was almost like a poor man's Randy Orton, but no, it was. I was glad when the match ended, to be honest.
Kyle, your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, it was your basic squash match. They were just trying to get Ziggler over. And I absolutely think it was stupid that he got rid of his hair. I thought it was a good little trademark that he had. Now, like it's already been said, but it is kind of like a poor man's Randy Orton. I completely agree with that. Nothing special.
We following this, we had a video on Edge retiring, throwed in a few shots of his career, and then we had an advert for Alberto Del Rio's retirement party, which is tonight on SmackDown. So check your local listings if you want to watch. There was a also just want to note there was a plug that you could RSVP to the event via Facebook. The Miz then comes out and hit at with Alex Riley. He grabs the mic. He says he's upset because he's been preparing for Truth and Cena for the past 6 days, but Truth made a bad decision and now he's got to prepare for Morrison. He says Truth's actions affected him the most and make matters worse. The match is going to be in a steel cage. A bit of a strange way to drop it in, that the match is going to be in a steel cage, you know, no real massive... Well, the match is going to be in a steel cage. No, it's just... Oh, no, the match is going to be a steel cage because I said so right now. He explains he does not have to be beaten to lose his title. And then he has Alex Riley grab him a chair and he sits down in the middle of the ring protesting, waiting for the GM to change the stipulation. They then cut to a commercial. We come back and Miz is still rambling onto the crowd and is still in his chair. He then goes for his catchphrase and Sin Cara's music hits out. Sin Cara's sort of intro is a bit strange on how he just sort of walks out. He needs to do something more than just walk out to the ring. It's really not that exciting. It's just a good thing he does the trampoline trick, which he did hit perfectly this time. It's then Riley versus Sin Cara, apparently. But no, then John Cena comes to the ring and the GM chimes in and turns the match into a standard tag team match between the four. What did we think on this segment, guys? Kyle?
I enjoyed the Miz's promo, even though he stole that from Chris Jericho. But I definitely enjoyed that. The match itself was a decent TV match between the four. Sin Cara looked decent besides a few minor things, and I enjoyed it. It wasn't anything special, but it was good for a TV match.
Yeah, George, what were your thoughts on the show?
On this segment, I thought it was not a bad segment. I think it's quite good that they're giving Sin Cara almost like star rub. They've obviously lined him up in this match with John Cena and then the Miz on the other side. I think it's sort of good. It's good that they're defining Sin Cara as a face, really. It's just a shame he lacks charisma, in my opinion, so far. Obviously, he can't speak for some reason. Perhaps that will come later.
We then had the match which Cara and John Cena won. It was good to see that John Cena sort of put him over to the fans, like support this guy at the end of the match, hopefully gaining him a few more fans because Cena obviously is now friends with him as well. We then had the Awesome Kong vignette, which we talked about in the news. We then had Eve Therese head out to the ring and the Bella Twins come out also. Brie Bella looks forward to their return match, but it may never happen with the WWE draft, is what the commentator says. Eve Therese defeats Nikki Bella in, I think, under 2 minutes, if I'm correct. No surprises there, but it was it's when after you have this match and it finishes, you have Michael Cole introduce Jack Swagger in as the match has just finished, literally, and one of the Divas is celebrating. He introduced Jack Swagger very friendly and said he's trying to make up for last week's incident. Swagger comes out to assist Cole, and then Swagger and Cole hug, making up after last week. But Swagger puts on some sort of royal robe on Cole. Swagger then opens up a scroll to make the event sound more legitimate. He introduces Queen Elizabeth, clearly a fake. He then gets knighted basically in a very boring, dull segment that went on a bit too long for my liking. What were your thoughts on this, guys? The Cole.
I've got to be honest with you, it was almost like a rip-off. It was almost like time travel. The same thing happened pretty much with Jerry the King Lawler and Bret Hart, where Jerry the King Lawler was made to kiss Bret Hart's feet. I just sort of think it's good that they're building Cole and Swagger up as the ultimate heels, really, but this storyline is just, like, ridiculous. The only good thing to come out of this storyline, really, is JR's back, and JR's commentary is just so much better than what they've got at the moment with Josh Matthews and everybody else, really. I may say so.
How are your thoughts?
This is just absolutely terrible writing by WWE. I mean, you go to London and, you know, you can't come up with anything better than bringing out a fake queen and then doing this whole little charade, which was terrible. I absolutely love the Cole heel persona, but I thought this was an absolutely total waste of time. It didn't do anything. It was nothing but cheap heat. The only people that cared anything about that segment were the ones in the arena that were pissed off that the queen was being just whatever. It was terrible. Nothing special for me on this one.
Yes, they won't have any more. I guess they won't have any more knighting ceremonies anytime soon after that.
The thing is, though, what I'm going to say, I don't know if this applies to everyone, but the majority of my friends really don't give a damn about the royal wedding. And to be honest, the Queen, we don't really associate it with England, you know. It's not, oh, we've got to see the Queen and, you know, we've got to watch all her Queen speeches and bloody blah. It's just like, oh, we've got a Queen. Yeah, you should know about her. To me, that's, and why we always get focused on that sort of thing. You know, the royal wedding, we're doing a show on, hopefully. So it shows you how much I care about it. I think, I don't know about you, George, but is that the same for you?
I think the only good thing about the royal wedding is we've got another day off work, really. I think.
Oh, yeah, true.
To be honest, it's like the way they act is if we know them personally, which we obviously don't. But let's get back to wrestling anyway. I don't want to talk about the Queen.
That's true.
It's boring.
We then had JR and Swagger in the... JR and... Jerry Lawler in the ring, speaking to Michael Cole. He told them to kiss his foot because he had been knighted by the Queen. He then took off his sock and it had some sort of strange infection. Apparently it was athlete's foot later on in the show.
We were told.
Oh, that's why, yeah, sorry. So he's a real athlete. Jack Swagger then pushed Lawler down, took him down, and then came back into the ring as JR was about to take down Michael Cole, but was taken down himself, and then forced to kiss his foot. To be honest, this to me was quite upsetting in terms of the way that he's been treated. I don't know what you guys thought about.
To change the subject so quickly, but it is on the subject. Jack Swagger, he is really upset at somebody in WWE. For him to be landed with his storyline, this is a former champion we're talking about. This guy was originally meant to be the one that led ECW. I just sort of think it's for him to be stuck with these old-timers and for them to play the Simply Vote on JR. It's always JR, though, isn't it? Let's be honest. What does everyone else think?
Kyle?
I'm sick of this, the Jim Ross, gotta constantly bash him. WWE's been bashing him on TV, you know, for years now. Hopefully he'll get it back at the pay-per-view coming up, but I didn't really care for the segment at all. I thought it was terrible writing on WWE's part, and like you kind of mentioned, to think that people were actually gonna care about this Queen segment, nobody. It was terrible. This whole segment I just could care less for.
Yeah, it's just booking from WWE. But anyway, let's wrap things up here on the Raw Report. We then had Randy Orton versus CM Punk. Randy Orton won. It was a good match. I believe it overran in the States, if that's correct. It was a slight overrun in terms of the time. He was then, at the end of the match, CM Punk was down and Randy Orton was also down. This is after the match had finished and we had the Nexus come out and attack Randy Orton. We then had, I believe it's Mason Ryan, if I'm correct, wanting to sort of charge into Randy Orton in the corner of the ring. But Punk told him he's his. It took them some time, and then as CM Punk went to hit his move, he was hit with the RKO, and then off the air. We're going to move on. Actually, what's your guys' thoughts and opinions on this? Sorry, the final segment.
towards the Randy Orton CM Punk thing, I think it was a bit silly them chucking away that match they're gonna charge for Extreme Rules. It is gonna be Randy Orton versus CM Punk in a Last Man Standing match. I just think it's so stupid them chucking that match away for free on Raw, basically. Who's gonna pay to see something they've seen already like about six times now?
Yeah, I agree as well. I think that as going by tonight's SmackDown as well, where I've read a preview, we also get another WrestleMania 27 rematch, which if you've bought, you're going to be pretty mad. I personally haven't, but you know, you pay, what, $50 out in America, 20 quid over here for a HD version, and you're going to be pretty cross that you've paid something and then get a rematch on free TV, technically.
Can I just say something else as well? Sorry.
Yeah, go for
that
it.
Match you're talking about is, I don't want to spoil too much, but it's basically on the pay-per-view as well. That'll be another match just on the pay-per-view as well, I think. I think they're going to probably talk that again.
Carl, your thoughts on the segment?
As for the match itself, it was... I thought it was a good match. It was different than the one that they had at WrestleMania. I don't know how it works for you guys, but Raw generally every week overruns 10 to 15 minutes in the States. And I really think I agree with George. They should not be giving that match away on TV if they're going to have it Extreme Rules, which they are. And one other note on Jack Swagger, them pretty much burying the hatchet with Michael Cole is terrible, is another example of terrible writing, unless he somehow churns at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It's a strange thing that they're doing, but we're gonna come back after this quick commercial break and do TNA Lockdown talk. We've got Zach on the line, as I said, who actually attended the event. So we're back after this.
It's TNA Wrestling's most brutal pay-per-view of all time, Lockdown, where heated blood feuds and championships are all settled inside the steel cage. See Jeff Hardy, Ric Flair, Kurt Angle, Mr. Anderson, Hulk Hogan, and all your favorite superstars when TNA presents Lockdown. Live, April 17th from the U.S. Bank Arena. Tickets are on sale now at the U.S. Bank Arena box office and Ticketmaster.com.
Welcome back to the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. I'm currently joined by a few guests, including Zach Grigg from Shotgun Wrestling Radio, Kyle Patton from IneedWrestling.com, and my co-host, George Jones. Let's start things with TNA Lockdown from Cincinnati, Ohio. It opened up with the X Division Escape match. It was a good fast-paced match, in my opinion, but... For an opener from the X Division, it was a bit boring in terms of the finish. I thought we could have had some sort of spot at the end where it was quite a bit of a rush as to who's going to get out, but instead, no, Max Buck just beat down on Brian Kendrick and then escaped. The crowd seemed very flat as well, but I don't know whether that was TV. Zach, what was the crowd like, if you're still there? In the building.
Well, the crowd for that match, the crowd was hot most of the night. Actually, a pretty big crowd for TNA in the States, but like the crowd was hot most of the night. They were a little flat on the finish of the X Division match. I mean, Mazing Red was way over to the live crowd, as so was Suicide, as well as Jay Lethal, who was apparently just released by TNA. I thought overall I liked the match, but I thought that it seemed like they could have done a little more. It seemed like they didn't really give us all that much in that opening X Division match.
George, what was your thoughts on the opening match?
For an X Division match, the X Division now is in such a bad way. As such, it just lacks anything. I really prayed that Chris Sabin would win. He seemed to be the last of what was once a really good division, if I may say so. It's no longer total non-stop action. It's just... rubbish, really. Sorry, Karen.
No, go for it. Carl, your thoughts on the X Division Escape match?
Well, I'm glad to hear that the crowd wasn't dead, because it did come across on TV that the crowd was pretty dead all night. This is just your typical spot fest for X Division. It is what it is. That the X Division is lacking. They should have gave a farewell to Jay Lethal instead.
Yeah, I'd agree there on the whole Jay Lethal deal. We then had a interview backstage with Christy Hemme, who was presenting it. She cocked it up really badly. I don't know whether it was either live or just really bad editing skills, or they decided not to take a retake. But she stumbled over words multiple times, and this was not the only one-off. She did it throughout the night. We then had Eric Bischoff come out into the ring and do a promo on Fortune. It was dreadful and a waste of time, personally. Your guys' thoughts on it, Zach?
You know, personally, I wasn't a big fan of the Eric Bischoff promo, but Eric, once again, was over with the crowd huge. I mean, there was some We Want Wrestling chants during his promo. I thought the promo lasted a little long, obviously to make up time for the short women's match they had because of Mickey's injury. But, you know, the crowd seemed to really be in Eric Bischoff, and I guess the mic, they must have mic'd the crowd really bad that night, because I watched the pay-per-view when I got back from Cincinnati, and you could not even hear the crowd reaction to anything throughout the night, hardly at all. So,
no, they seemed very dead throughout the night. Kyle, your thoughts on the Eric Bischoff promo?
I don't want to sound like a TNA hater, because I'm absolutely not, but I thought this promo was not needed at all. It was atrocious, terrible, and I like Eric Bischoff. I think he's a good promo guy, but this was just not needed.
And George?
Yeah, I sort of think on a pay-per-view, you don't really want to see like promos. You want to see actual matches. It just didn't serve no purpose, really. It was sort of just like putting Hulk Hogan over again. It was just unnecessary. I didn't know what it added to the show.
Yeah, moving on, we had a four-way tag team match. Eric Young started off by climbing out of the ring, out of the cage even, sorry. Didn't come across for me, and the crowd didn't seem to really pop for it or anything. Hink picked up the victory, and the crowd still seemed fairly flat from the TV perspective. Guys, thoughts on this? George?
Yeah, it was an average match, really. Ink didn't look too bad. It looks like they're on a major push at the moment. But no, it wasn't too bad.
Kyle?
This is the only time I really heard the crowd all night was with Scott Steiner. They really seemed to be into him. This match, nothing too special. I enjoyed it, and I totally picked wrong on this match, thinking that Steiner and Crimson would take it, so I was a little bit surprised with Ink, but I enjoyed it.
And Zach, what was your thoughts on the match?
I think the crowd in Cincinnati was a little confused on the ending with the whole Eric Young climbing the cage and then Ink getting the pinfall. I will admit, I was a little confused on if it was a pinfall to end the cage match or if it was escape and why they kind of went with what they did. I picked Ink Inc. to win this in my picks on the Shotgun Radio page, but Scott Steiner was way over with the crowd, and that was probably the only time, and I agree with you there, that was probably the only time you could hear it on television through the pay-per-view was the Scott Steiner chant.
So I just want to mention, before this match, we had another Christy Hemme interview. She was speaking to Crimson Scott Steiner, just so people know she did mess up again. We then had the Knockouts title match. It was not a very good match, but under the circumstances that Mickey James was injured legitimately, I don't really have a problem with it. It lasted under, I believe, 2 minutes, and literally Mickey James just threw everyone into the Madison Rayne into the cage door and destroyed her. It looks like they're getting her and Tara in a feud. I don't know what you guys think about this. I'm going to ask Kyle.
I had no problem with this because they booked the match before the injury ever occurred. So I have no problem there. They had to give the people something, and obviously she's not going to lose her hair, so they just made it a squash match. But kind of felt bad for Madison on that because it kind of made her look weak, but she did get jumped, so all is well.
And Zach?
I agree there that Santos was booked out before the injury. The crowd seemed to love it. But I had no problem with it being a squash match.
And George,
it was good to finally see Madison Rayne lose the title. It's been so long now that sort of she's always somehow retained every single month. I think it's just good that Mickie James has finally won the belt.
Yeah, I agree, but have they left it too long is what I'm wondering. Go ahead, Kyle.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to say I actually think that's one of the big things that TNA actually did right was this whole Mickie chasing the title thing. I think they did it pretty well.
Go ahead, George.
They did sort of build Madison Rayne up as somebody that's not going to lose. She always seemed to just about get near and so far and always keep the title. So it's I think it's good to see Mickie James win it. It's just a shame she's injured at the moment, so she can't defend it for a while.
Yeah, I just want to note here that at the end of the match, as Madison left the cage, she was escorted out by a ref. For some reason, the camera decided to cut with to a shot of the referee checking if Madison was okay, like legitimately, not in terms of wrestling. She said, "Are you okay?" And she was just like, "Yeah, I'm fine. You know, after she'd been bashed into a few sides of the cage, if this wasn't meant to be legit, then I was guessing that she should be in a lot of pain, but apparently she doesn't feel any. We had the Samoa Joe versus the Pope. It was an okay match. I enjoyed it enough. Some good slapping contest in the middle of it. Again, the crowd seemed dead. I don't know whether this is just a recurring thing. If the mics weren't done very well. Zach, what was the building like inside?
Joe was way over with the crowd when he made his entrance, and they seemed to be in the Joe most of the match. Pope got a lot of heat, actually, during this match. It did not come well over on television for the crowd-wise at all. Personally, the crowd seemed to enjoy the match with Joe hitting the Muscle Buster and choking out Pope.
Kyle?
I haven't been into this feud as of late, but I did really enjoy this match. I thought they both did a good job, and I enjoyed it overall. I thought it was a good pay-per-view match, and Joe going over, I was happy with.
And George?
Yeah, it's just good to finally get this feud over and done. But no, they did end it quite well. I have to agree with Carl. It was good to see Joe go over clean. Because they've really been pushing the Pope lately.
Yeah, I think it was a good result. Joe won with the... I've got it written with a wins with the choke. Yeah, that was it. We then had Mexican America interview with Christy Hemme. She stumbled a little over her words again. I've got written here for some reason shouted Viva lots. And then I've got I hate Hernandez. Hernandez versus Matt Morgan. The camera cut to a very good looking, impressive wide shot during Mexican America's entrance. Someone then used the camera hole during the match to grab Matt Morgan's leg, and Hernandez sticks his thumb in Morgan's neck, and Hernandez shouts Viva again. Briefly a series of really bad looking punches during the match, and there was a midair carbon footprint to gain Morgan the victory. It was not performed well, which is another note I have here. It was out of time and sync. Kyle, what did you think about this match in terms of wrestling?
It was all right. It was definitely not your your match of the card, but it was all right. I won't lie. I was entertained by the match. Besides, there were a couple mistakes, but it was good. I'm happy that this feud is done with. I'm not a big fan of Hernandez as a singles competitor. I'm a huge fan of Matt Morgan, on the other hand, and I'm hoping he gets to move up the card now.
Yeah, I've actually got hit that following the match, Sarita cut a promo on the USA, and it was, to be honest, quite boring. Halfway through, she forgot her lines and had to check with what's the other woman's name that's in Mexican America? Rosita, that's
Sarita.
It.
Rosita.
Yeah, he had to check. She had to check with them But then Velvet Sky appeared, which if I had bought the pay-per-view on demand, I would have been pretty angry with, because I was meant to be getting the full 3-hour, 4-hour chat with her during it. But that's TNA on demand for you. She takes both of the women down, and then we go on to a Karen Angle promo. What did you guys think of the promo from Sarita? George?
Yeah, it's just an average promo, really. Sort of, it's nothing really, I would say it's nothing really to get excited about. It's good that they're sort of giving this Mexican stable time, but yet, on the pay-per-view, they've buried both Anarchia in a dark match. She lost to Devon, and also Hernandez has lost, but at least the women are getting pushes, which is good. They're better than the beautiful people, in my opinion, if I may say so.
Zach, what was your opinion in a live perspective in terms of wrestling? And the where it went over with the crowd, sorry.
Overall, the crowd was pretty dead for the match between Matt Morgan and Hernandez. Honestly, I don't think the guys clicked very well together. They popped for the carbon footprint at the end. Sarita and Rosita gained a lot of heat during their promo, even though Sarita forgot her lines pretty much through the middle of the promo. Velvet was way over with the crowd. A great brawl. Kind of ended the segment for the crowd to me good, because honestly, I didn't really enjoy Hernandez versus Hernandez and Matt Morgan that well at all, because I just don't like Hernandez as a singles competitor.
I now have the up next on the list was the Jarrett versus Angle match. One of my notes here, for some reason, I was obviously bored. I wrote, Karen Angle is wearing a hideous dress. Hideous silver trousers. Until I was entertained by the show overall.
She was wearing a dress?
No, she was wearing some really bad silver trousers, sorry. Yeah, you might want to revisit that, but it's kind of
joking.
She's the most annoying person in the TNA, in my opinion. She just screams and screams and screams. I don't know what she's doing there, really.
Oh, she's just all over the place. And to be honest, I find the feud with her and Angle, if I was in that situation and I had to work with my ex-wife, that would be so awkward and uncomfortable. I wouldn't even be in the company. But God knows what type of money they're all on and what their contract actually says. The match was good, apart from it had its moments where it was a little bit funny. To begin with, Jarrett was holding a submission. Obviously, it was 2 out of 3. No, it was, I can't remember the name. It's like 3 degrees of pain. It was Ultra Male.
Ultra Male, for sure.
Great name there. But the first fall was submission. And for some reason, Kurt can't lie down as it's a pinfall, even though it's submission only. The commentators didn't seem to pick up on this either until after the match. But then we had Kurt win with, I believe, a choke or the angle lock. I can't remember. The next one was crowd scene. I've got crowd scene dead here. And then Kurt, the next one was to get out of the cage, I believe. Jeff wins by second fall for holding the...
Jeff won by a roll-up, basically. He got one of them cheap heat roll-ups.
That was it. Sorry, my bad. My notes aren't as detailed as I thought here. But he won a roll-up where he cheated and won there. The final fall was... remind me again, George.
Basically, what happens is it's back and forth, back and forth. Kurt Angle almost has a death wish by taking a powerbomb from the top rope, which Jarrett and Angle botch. And Angle, at the last minute, flips his head so he doesn't land on his neck. Right at the end of the match, Angle's going to leave the ring. Karen Angle comes down, or Karen Jarrett even, comes down. She sprays something in his eyes. It's almost like mace. He's blinded. Then Karen tries to help Jarrett out of the ring, but Angle pulls him back into the ring with an ankle lock. Karen slides Jeff Jarrett the guitar, and then he uses it to blast Angle. Jarrett just sort of gloating, but Angle gets up again. Jarrett tries to get him back. Jarrett tries to leave the cage. Angle pulls him back in with an ankle lock. Karen Angle slams the door into Angle's head, and Kurt sort of just falls, and then Jeff Jarrett just sort of falls out of the ring. It's basically an angle which always happens in cage matches where the heels always slam the door into the faces. I was just annoyed to see Jeff Jarrett win, to be honest. That's my opinion, but it was a great match. It was the best match on the event, in my opinion.
Just two comments here first. It was what confused me is why couldn't Kurt escape the cage, win the match, then go back in, lock himself in, and beat the hell out of Jeff Jarrett. I don't know if that...
The way Angle was carrying on as if he wouldn't get another chance. He was just sort of trying to punish Jarrett just to get one over on Karen, really, it seemed. But I don't know, that sort of, that would be common sense, but...
I'm thinking too far ahead. That's what I'm doing. Kyle, what did you think about this match?
Just to make two quick points. The match itself stole the show. I think this is the best match on the card. Not taking anything away from Lethal Lockdown, because that was entertaining as hell, but this was the best match on the card. Very disappointed, though, that Jeff Jarrett went over in this match. This feud has been going on what seems like an eternity. And I'm literally praying that this ends at Sacrifice, because I can't take any more of this feud. These two guys should be putting over younger talent in TNA right now, or at least having incredible pay-per-view matches with them to get the guys to their level instead of feuding with each other.
Can I just say one more thing, please?
Yeah, go for it.
Unfortunately, I'm sure you're all aware of this, it looks like they've got another feud for another month. Although this time it looks like Angle is going to bring in some help. He mentioned last night on Impact someone called his mistress, and I reckon that's going to be Izayla, the Amazon. I expect that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully this will be the end of it. They'll get even, then that will end it.
Well, that's what I was saying. Hopefully Sacrifice will finish this.
Zach, your thoughts on it as you were live. How was it over with the crowd, and what did you think of the match in general?
I really enjoyed the match outside of the few botch spots, but like the match was definitely match of the night. I think the crowd was a little confused on the rules at the beginning, because after the first submission hold, I think people thought the match was over, and they started going again, and then you got the roll up with the tights, and the ending was the ending definitely got some cheap heat from the crowd, but. I think these two guys did an awesome job on the pay-per-view, and I really enjoyed watching it. I was just agree with Kyle there that I was hoping this feud would have ended at Lockdown, especially since they were in front of a different crowd than the Impact Zone.
Yeah, I agree. The crowd did seem... I was hoping it was going to come across better, but they clearly didn't mic them up very well.
It was worth watching just to see Angle's bump, really. That is such a bad bump he took, if I may say so.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. My next match here, sorry, I'm kind of rushing on for a bit for time, is the world title match, Anderson versus Singh DVD, or RDV, if you want to buy a TNA shirt from them. Just so you know, they've printed the T-shirts wrong. I don't know how many of you have seen that, but if you go to tnashop.com or shoptna.com, I can't remember.
It must be Vince Russo behind it.
It's a new gimmick.
That's just a new storyline.
The match was fairly quick. I'm going to get to the point. Sting won. And then we had Hulk Hogan handing a pipe to RVD. And then Anderson, he drops it, and Anderson picks it up and hits him with it. But Sting grabs Anderson and hits him with the Scorpion Death Drop. The most disappointing part of this at the end, Hulk Hogan said that he made it look like he will be wrestling Sting sometime soon again, which, to be honest, is an instant turn off for me right away. I'm just glad they didn't put it instead of Lethal Lockdown. But I'm going to briefly move on to Lethal Lockdown. It was a good match, actually. I really enjoyed it. It was Immortal versus Fortune, and I wasn't surprised that we saw AJ Styles return, but was surprised that we didn't see Daniels turn heel and go with Immortal. What did you guys think about this, Zach?
I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was very well booked, and the way to put the Fortune over to end the pay-per-view. I was figuring there'd be a little... I don't know how you word it, some of that screwy booking on TNA at sometimes. I was figuring that AJ would turn, but or AJ would return and then Daniels would turn heel. I really liked the way they did it. I wasn't so much for the submission victory, but apparently since Rick had have to have rotator cuff surgery, I see why they did that. But the Daniels spot from the top of the cage was awesome. I can't even put the match into words. It was an awesome feeling in the crowd. She ate it up, and they were really hot for the whole thing and the AJ return as well.
Kyle, your thoughts on the match?
I absolutely enjoyed this match. I thought this was a really good decision on their part to have this as the main event instead of the world title match. Very entertaining. I do agree that I did think Daniels would have like maybe a heel turn in this match or whatever, but he didn't. And I will say that AJ Styles, when he came in, I thought that you could see it, you could hear a decent pop on the TV on that. That was probably the second time I thought the crowd was actually alive watching that pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'll agree there in terms of pop for AJ. I'm going to let you guys go now. First off, Kyle, why don't you plug the website?
Oh, thanks. It's ineedwrestling.com, exactly how it sounds. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Please check it out.
George, have you got any plugs?
No, just thanks for listening, and I'll hopefully be back next week.
And Zach, your show, why don't you plug it and tell people what's coming up and when it's live?
All right, Shotgun Wrestling Radio is on Mondays at 3 Eastern on TalkShoe.com. You can check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/Shotgun Radio and the number one.
Right, guys, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. Sorry it's been a little bit rushed, but Zach, been a pleasure having you on. Kyle, hope you get better soon too. And George, thanks for calling in too. I hope to have you guys on next week, and Zach, we will sort something out for the near future. Bye.
Take care, gentlemen.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
And you,
see ya.
I'll be right back after this with this Reggie Tiller on the line discussing everything in the world of indie wrestling. So, when you stick around.
Stand there and shut up, because I've got a lot to say.
I am Bobby the Brain Heenan. Get it straight.
We're here making television history right now.
Now, for the first time ever released on DC, the unprecedented collection of one of the greatest managers of all time in Bobby Brain Heenan.
You know, I'm the kind of a man that doesn't like to be made a fool of. You listen to me, you go to the top.
From his dynamic relationship with Gorilla Monsoon.
Will you stop? Just wait a minute. We're on the air here.
What was this, a joke?
Yes,
stand there and shut up, because I've got a lot to say.
I am Bobby the Brain Heenan. Get it straight.
Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened there. Some audio issue. But anyway, welcome back to the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. I believe I have Mr. Reggie Tiller on the line. Is that true, Reggie? Are you there?
I'm here.
Cool. If you don't mind just speaking up a little bit, I might be able to hear you slightly better.
Okay,
cool. We're going to quickly talk on briefly on JCW's brand new deal. They are putting iPay-per-views every second week on a Wednesday. Their first one this week, April 20th. You can catch the replay on demand, which is now available at psychopathiclive.com. Exactly how you sound. We had some results from it, and then we'll get on to whether we think it's a good idea. We had Jimmy Jacobs defeat Sal the Man of a Thousand Gimmicks for Sal to leave JCW. We had Bull Payne and Isabella Smothers defeat Zach Gowan and Eugene. We then had Rhino defeating Sexy Slim Goody with the Gore. Sabu with Charlie Brown, and Too Tough Tony went to an no contest and Rob Conaway attacked Too Tough Coney. Apparently Rhino made the save. You can check out some more results if you go to JCW Wrestling's website. Reggie, I want to ask you, do you think doing a bi-weekly iPay-per-view is a good idea, especially on a Wednesday? Personally, for me, it's a very strange decision to do it every second week. One, are they going to get many buys if it's that often? I do know it's quite cheap. It's only $5. But considering it's on a Wednesday, what do you think about this? Hello. Oh, sorry. Hang on. Hello. Sorry. Did you hear that, Reggie? Hello. Going once. Going twice. Hello, Reggie.
Yes, I'm right here.
Sorry. Did you hear what I said there? You actually went out.
Yeah, I went out. My phone died on me.
Oh, sorry. What I was saying was about JCW's weekly bi-weekly iPay-per-views. Do you think it's a good idea to do them on a Wednesday evening, especially being such a funny day and considering they're going to be one every 2 weeks? Do you think people are going to save the money, even though it is just $5? Do you think people will be interested in buying the pay-per-view?
Not really. I really don't see any indie fans, unless they're juggalos. I wouldn't consider them buying the pay-per-view because JCW is not really a good product.
I think they have their like home fans as such. You know, like CZW has their base of fans that will follow it, wherever TNA has the same people who will buy the pay-per-view no matter what. I think there will be guys like that. It's an interesting concept, especially with it being on every second week. I think it's something a bit different. The site looks legit, and apparently the stream went well. But other than that, there's not a lot of talk about in terms of JCW. I want to briefly touch on Shikara. This past weekend, they had their King of Trios event, with the overall winners being... let me just see. Sorry, I've lost the winners here. Let me scroll to the bottom. The Colony, I believe, won the King of Trios event. One thing I wanted to briefly touch on, Reggie, before I let you go here, we've overrun a little bit. But did you hear about the DVD deal with it being released literally the following Monday?
They released it early.
Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think it will encourage people to go get it really fast? Or do you think people are going to now have to wait and save some money up for it, sort of thing?
I don't know. I think they'll save money up, or people already saved money on it.
Very true. But do you think doing the King of Trios on iPay-per-View could work next year? I think that's where Shikara need to go in terms of their DVDs and pay-per-view, take it on demand online. You know, people want stuff fast, not a few days later. Do you think putting it on iPay-per-view could work? Hello? Going once? Going twice? Are you there? Hello? Are you there? Well, ladies and gentlemen, sorry there.
Yes,
you're back.
Yes.
Sorry, did you catch the end of that?
What?
I was saying, do you think Shikara should go iPay-per-view? Do you think that could work?
Well, yes, they need to go iPay-per-view.
Have you got any particular reasons as to why you think it should go iPay-per-view? Do you think people prefer stuff nowadays on demand, faster?
Yes.
Okay, well... ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. On behalf of myself, Kyle from INeedWrestling.com, Zach from Shotgun Wrestling Radio, George Jones and Reggie Tiller, this is me, Sean Wolford, and I am signing off.
Running makes me feel alive. I was searching for the answer. running makes me feel alive. This is why my hands and EMS and press rats are living.